Well, I'm super grateful to talk to you. My name's Kelsey McCarthy.
Thanks, Kelsey.
All right, for Heavy. You're, of course, Mike Goldberg is here with us. The voice of combat sports, as I call you. You've been
thanks, Kelsey.
Sports for so long and been part of the biggest moments in combat sports history. You're going to be calling a fight on July 16th. BYB Extreme Bare Knuckle Boxing.
That's it, baby. Right? Yeah.
Man, yeah. This is exciting because all this different stuff is happening now. Talk a little bit about how you got hooked up with these guys and talk a little bit about their product because it's new and interesting.
Well, it was actually very flattering. I was very honored, Kelsey. Mike Vasquez, the owner of BYB Extreme, got a hold of Mel Valenzuela, who's the matchmaker, and Mel connected us. And we got talking a little bit. Nelson Swagler's helping to handle production. He's old school WWE. And Matt, he's just like, oh, Kelsey, this dude has stories, but none that are present day. So if you go Mean Gene, you go like, you know, WrestleMania 1-5.
Oh, my day. He lived it.
My day too. My day too. I remember college, WrestleMania 1, Hulkster, take your vitamins. I'll tell you what, Mean Gene. Yeah, you know, and they invited me down to check out a show. And Mike is just amazing, as is Elvis. Elvis Crespo, who handles a lot of the regulation as well as the fighters. And they said, come check it out. We're committed to a play-by-play guy for the next two shows, as it was. And I loved it. I loved it. Dada looks at me and goes, holy shit, why are you here? And I'm like, okay, well, Mike V didn't tell Dada, but that's okay because Dada's excited. Yeah. And then, I got to watch it. Richie Gaughan is the producer. Richie and I go way back, UFC days. He's been at Showtime forever. So, Kelsey, it felt like home. And I enjoyed it because I love the concept of the Trigon, because now I can say, we'll see you next time right back here inside the Trigon. So I got that. You know, that works. And I love finishes. I love finishes. And everybody top to bottom could not have been cooler. And it continues to be that way. And I believe, just like Mike Vasquez and everybody in the family, I believe we have a product that could take off and really take over. It seems like there's a shift towards this bare knuckle world and two good organizations doing it right now. And I would love to be part of, I guess, Kelsey, another journey, because that's what this really is. This is picking up early UFC days. You know, two men will enter the octagon, only one will leave.
Yeah, you went from the octagon to the trigon, right? It's a trigon.
Yeah.
Super fascinating.
That's it, yeah. It's definitely smaller.
You're on an amazing journey. Like, I was so excited to talk to you because of all
the amazing things
that you've been part of and that you continue to do. You're living like some people would say a dream life, right? You called UFC for 20 years, Bellator for 5 years, and now you're over here doing this. That's an amazing thing that a lot of people don't understand how it happens or even how it works. And maybe that's not important, but what is important are the people doing it. And I think that it's awesome that you're doing it.
I greatly appreciate it. And you know, as I get older, I guess I could say, Kels, but as I like reflect, and I've had time to kind of, I guess, digest everything that's happened over the last 5 years, a $4.2 billion sale and 120 people losing their jobs, myself included, at the UFC, myself being the one most people talk about because I was the one that was in everybody's living rooms for 20 years. Then Bellator moves to Showtime, and Mauro Ranallo is already there and established. They're in the COVID world. They're in the bubble. So he goes up and down from Mohegan Sun. So, you know, there might be some Bellator in the future as well. I still have a great relationship with Scott Coker and everyone over there. So now that I've been able to kind of step back, and Benny Ricardo asked me when I was at the last BYB, he said, does this remind you of the early UFCs? Kind of like I said to you, Kelsey, and I started to reflect on Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, Lake Charles, Louisiana. I remember years ago, we went to Birmingham, Alabama with the UFC, and I thought, oh, this is the shit. We have made it. Birmingham, Alabama, you have got to be kidding me. And then shortly thereafter was the Seminole Hard Rock, where our BYB show is. So I'm going to enjoy the journey, and everybody has great ideas. Mike has asked me to bring in some production ideas as well, which I'm very flattered by. And hey, let's go on another fun ride, because the one I was on with Joe for 19 years was a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah, what an awesome ride. And also, I love that. I mean, this is what life is, right? Life is constantly
changing.
Yeah. Even if it goes on the same for 19 years or so, eventually it's going to change. But there's always new opportunities for people. And
right.
You've seen in combat sports, right? When I was growing up, all there was boxing pretty much. And then
MMA. Yeah.
And then all this other stuff. I feel like there's so much opportunity. And I'm actually curious about where combat sports is going. Like, what's next? I have no idea. Now we're fighting in triangles, bare knuckle boxing. What's next?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because as I truly zone in on my debut next month, July 16th at the Hard Rock for BYB6, I had the opportunity to do a pilot for Golden Boy Promotions the other day, this Bally's Fight Night.
That's right.
And they're using the Monkey Knife Fight Lounge. And I'm sure, obviously, with what you do for a living, you know what Trigger and I did midweek last week in Los Angeles, and did boxing as well as MMA. And they're trying to capture kids like my son at 21 years old, who's streaming and doing his homework a lot, mostly streaming, I think. Although he has been on the Dean's list, so I guess he's doing a little bit of homework. So you're trying to capture that new audience and make it more interactive and let people make their wagers and get into the now generation, as Frank and I talked about on the air. And so it is changing, and the world has changed. We all go like this when we want to find something out. I'm like, oh, I'm going to talk to Kelsey in 10 minutes. And I picked up my phone and I checked out a couple of your things. I'm like, oh, this dude, he's cool. All right, this is going to be fun. That's what we do now. And that's what we're going to try to bring at BYB Extreme, that immediacy, get to know the fighters, entertain the fans. But I think this day and age, you would agree, we have to do it in a little different way than we did it 5, 7, or 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, I wish, just in my own journey, I'm 42 years old. Just recently have I learned that I should be learning and growing all the time, right? So I wish I would have known that the first 40 years of my life. But anyway, I'm glad I know it now, because now I see that life really is amazing and all these amazing experiences, all these new things. The old me, even I was late to the MMA party just because I was a boxing guy and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
My life is so much better. And so I really appreciate that you're open to new things. You've always been on the cutting edge in a way, and here you are again with bare knuckle boxing.
And I'm excited about it, because I love how you just said that, Kelsey. You set me up with a softball, because I've had a couple of people react with, oh, he's an MMA announcer. He can't call boxing. You know, like you said, I'm a boxing guy. I'm like, first off, I am a prep freak. So I always do my homework. I always respect the fighters, respect the history of the sport, the rules and everything that goes with it. I can't say that you simplify things when you can only strike these ways, because there's a lot of shielding and pairing and different footwork and different angles and 1,800 different ways you can utilize the jab. I get that. But it was kind of interesting, some of the reactions early as I had the opportunity to do some boxing. Oh, there's no way he can do it. Well, all right, well, you took Muay Thai, the art of 8 limbs, and you took 6 limbs away. So that makes it a teeny bit easier for me to keep track of. And I don't have to worry about any of the stuff on the ground, which I usually just deferred to Big John or Brian Stan or obviously Joe anyway. I'm like, actually, just you go. All right, Joe. All right, Joe. All yours. So I'm excited about it. I'm old school Tyson fan. In fact, I've been watching the documentary and the fight with Spinks, and I'm thinking, I stood outside a bar in Vancouver and they were getting $50 a head to walk in to that fight. And everybody went, oh man, do we get free drinks or something, like, to get our money back? We chose Canadian funds at that time, so we had the good exchange rate going, Kelsey. But I love boxing. I've always leaned towards the striking. I think that's the hockey player in me. Plus, I've trained a ton of Muay Thai over the last 15 years with crew Mark Delagrati at Sityotong and with Master McGowan here. And so I've worked my hands a lot, and I've trained and hit pads with professional boxers. Does that make me an expert? No, But does that allow me the opportunity to set Paulie and Ricardo up properly? I believe it does. And I'll learn along the way. I'll learn along the way, which will be kind of cool.
Well, that's a cool thing to do just for your own life. Another thing I've recently, glad you mentioned Muay Thai. I started learning Muay Thai last year. And like before, I would have never tried something like that. The old way I thought was only do what I feel comfortable other people seeing me. But I went and visited Clarissa Shields at Jackson Wink, and here was a gold medalist boxer, clearly frustrated, trying to learn something new.
Absolutely.
People that learn things new and that keep doing new things, because I think that that's important, and it helps me become a better me, you know? So I'm grateful that you mentioned that. People don't know, maybe. Sometimes I grew up thinking I couldn't do stuff like that.
Right.
And there's a whole world of people that are not just talking about things, they're doing things. You said that, you know, some people were like, oh, he couldn't call boxing. Well, I think it's all over.
I called sky surfing. Sorry, Kelsey. I called sky surfing at the Extreme Games. Come on.
Right. I'm excited for you. I'm excited about that. I'm also grateful to hear that you could potentially be back at Bellator. I actually read a story that said that potential thing could happen down the road.
Yeah. I'm
grateful to hear that. I wanted to ask you, you worked at UFC and Bellator. Did you have favorite memories from those two places? Like maybe one from the UFC and one from Bellator?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I would say my favorite memory of the UFC, if I don't put it in one fight, Kelsey, because that's always been so difficult. I think as I reflect back now, it's what I kind of mentioned before. And I didn't realize it until I was 2, 3, 4, even I guess it's 5 years removed, almost 4.5 years removed from the UFC. The journey, you know, when Joe and I used to joke about, wow, this isn't Casino Magic in Bay St. Louis anymore. I remember going into Sky Dome in Toronto, 80,000 people, and both Joe, my powerful partner, and I were like this, Kels. We're like, wow, like what? This is crazy. This is crazy. And then to go to Abu Dhabi and they build a stadium for us, we do it outside, and then they tear it down the next day. They got a lot of money over there. They were able to do it. BJ was upset by Frankie. Dana was upset by the main event, as you remember. But it was the journey at the UFC. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there were moments. I mean, Stefan and Forrest will always be a great moment. I remember looking at Frank Fertitta right after that fight, and I went, two contracts. You got to give them both a contract. Now, I don't know if I was a genius at the time. I'm sure the Fertittas were already planning on it. And then things like UFC 200, things like our first trip to Madison Square Garden, watching Ronda take over, and watching the masses surround Ronda was amazing. Obviously, Connor, there were weigh-ins, Kelsey, that had as many people in the crowd for Connor, weigh-ins.
Yeah.
In the States, where you thought we were in Dublin, first of all, who's this puking guy? As many as would be at the show the next day. And again, I would just go, this is the weigh-in. And then for Bellator, I would say my biggest memory for Bellator would be the trips to Hawaii and watching Alimale McFarlane win and, well, defend her title twice there and just capture the culture. And then we interacted with all five branches of the military over on Oahu, as you know. And then I remember Big John and I, we went right to Japan from there. And we like literally left Honolulu, went right to Japan and did a card in Japan, which was kind of a Ryzen Bellator combination 2 nights later. That would be like the highlight as far as like the big fights for me. And I even said to John, as we were getting set that night to do the show in Japan, I said, I feel that buzz again. I go, Big John, I feel that buzz again. Like it's in my body. This is freaking awesome. I feel it. And we looked around and there was a reason why. There was a reason why. And my first UFC was in Japan. So anytime I'm able to go over there, Kelsey, it's obviously very special.
That's great, man. I love hearing that. You obviously have a huge library of things that you can probably pull up.
Right? Yeah. Got a lot of great moments. I mean, even I watching the Who video the other night before we got started, you know, they're doing Baba O'Reilly with all the highlights, which is just epic before every UFC pay-per-view. I'm sitting up in a suite. This is funny because I send a picture out on social and everybody's upset because I had bad seats. Well, actually, my buddy who's the ticket guy who always hooks me up with the Coyotes had me and my partners in a suite. So I'm like, all right, it's not that bad. But the fans had my back, which was cool. But the, I said to Fernanda, my wife, I go, all right, what's the over under on my voice on, you know, the Who video, like, you know, Teenage Wasteland, what are we going to see here? And she goes, two. And we got about 3 seconds in. I go, 2, 3, 4, 5. That means a lot to me, though, to be part of all those seminal moments. And to see Terry Adam go down like, boom, from that spinning heel kick from Barboza. Those will never go away. Those will always be part of my journey, Kels, and things that I cherish and things that I will never forget and that I'm thankful for. Thankful that I could be part of so many monumental moments of the growth of the sport of mixed martial arts.
Yeah, it's so amazing. One thing that I was kind of sad to read about was that when your contract was over and they didn't renew you with the UFC, is that you never, Dana White never, you said back then, never really reached out to you.
Yeah.
Talked about it. Did that ever happen?
You know, it's funny. We saw each other and it was crazy. My son was playing in a hockey tournament in Vegas. We used to go and play in a tournament in Vegas every Thanksgiving, and I coached. And I think we were going to a game, and we come out of Red Rock, and Dana's like right there in the valet area, getting into his car, like walking his car, had just been pulled around. And Cole goes, "Dad, that's Dana." And I was like, what do I do here? Like, what do I do? And I walked up. And I said, "Hey, Dana, how are you? What, you know, Dana, what the fuck are you doing here?" Out, Cole's playing hockey. He waved to Cole. We shook hands. I said, "I'd love to stay in touch." He said, "We should do that." And, you know, there you go. After that amount of time, it was just an awkward situation. I mean, what can you say? Craig Borsari, my direct boss, as far as the production, like, hug me, and you know, I'm sorry it's going this way. Like I said, I was one of over 100 people, and I've never considered myself, Kelsey, more important than the merchandise manager or the social media director or anybody else who lost their gigs. We all lost our gig, and it sucked for each and every one of us, plain and simple. But yeah, it was weird with Dana, and I'm glad I had that moment. And it was a quick moment in Vegas. But it was a nice moment, and it was a fluke. But then again, maybe it was just meant to be.
Maybe it's just the universe, meant to be. You know, I think I can understand.
That's it. Yeah. I
think people avoid awkwardness, and maybe the universe brings
them
down so things can come.
Sure. I love that's it. That's it. The funny thing was, you know, the first show after they didn't renew my contract was in Phoenix, and BJ Penn fought Yair Rodriguez. And it was downtown Phoenix, and I was in attendance, and I was in a suite again with my buddies, but I started to go down to the stands to watch BJ. Baby J is one of my favorite people in the world. And I'm kind of like, I was that guy sneaking down to a seat, literally. And I sit behind these two dudes. I'm like, "Anybody sitting here?" "No, you're good." "Oh, you can sit here. You can sit here." And so think about all the shots, like crowd shots that you could pick. None are really, unless it's a celebrity shot, like, here's Bieber, here's Wahlberg, here's Austin Matthews the other night, whatever it might be, there's Triple C. Just a crowd shot. I'm sitting in this seat, random seat, was only there at the end of the show, and I see one of the handheld cameras pointing at me. And I just go like this. I thought I was just saying hi to the boys in the truck. Like, "What up, boys? I'm here. We'll see you afterwards. You know, let's get a bite to eat, a couple cocktails." And it went on the air. It was a crap. Like me, I'm like this.
Yeah.
And the bat phone rang. Anthony Giordano, our director, so funny telling the story, Kelsey. The bat phone rang immediately. "What's up, boy, boy? How am I going to?" And Anthony's like, "I didn't know it was him. I didn't see him. Are you sure? Are you?" And out of all the shots in the world. But maybe that was by the universe, yeah, though, right? It was, and you got it. Yeah,
you got your moment that
I did. I'm just like,
you and the universe is like,
I got this. Yeah.
Well, gosh, man, I've really
see you're learning now. Muay Thai, you throw a couple elbows, baby.
Yeah, I've been trying to learn. I'm gonna try to channel your Muay Thai energy into my own life. At 42,
it's fun.
It's hard.
At 56, it's even harder.
Yeah, I know. I'm not talking, but still, it has been very. Yeah, cool. I've super enjoyed.
It's fun though, isn't it? Though, I mean, it's fun throwing kicks, and it's fun changing the distance. And when you first learn the switch kick and the elbows and the knees, and you know, you being a boxing guy, you can see where the instinct happened, you know, 100 times when Connor boxed against Floyd.
Yeah.
And that instinct in the clinch was to continue fighting.
Yeah.
And that obviously isn't the case. It's not going to be the case coming up when Anderson Silva faces off against Chavez Jr. But when you're a Muay Thai guy like those guys and a striker with the art of eight limbs, that's just natural. You get in close, you throw an elbow. Yeah. I mean, Adesanya was beautiful with it the other day. And Moreno was beautiful. Once you get it tight, all right, I can't punch you from in here. A lot of, you see dirty boxing, but dirty boxing and dirty Muay Thai is boom, because now I don't need a lot of distance. Yeah. So it's fun. It's different. But so is boxing. And boxing is special, and it's obviously got an incredibly rich history, and I'm really excited for the challenge. I really am. And it will be a challenge. I'm not going in there like I know it all. I'm going in as a sponge like I did in the early UFC days. And I just want to learn and get better every fight, every show, and entertain. That's the way it's going to be.
You're definitely great at it. You're going to be great at it.
Thanks, Kelsey.
I'm grateful to hear about the Muay Thai, because I know for me, it opens up my mind to new things, and always keeping my mind open to new things has helped me in my life. It seems like you're the kind of person who's done that your whole life, so that's a good example for me.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for that. I'm really grateful to have chatted with you. I've enjoyed it so much. The time just flew by on me, right? I mean, I do have one more question for you, though, before
I let
you go, and it's what I like to call a Wikipedia check. Before I talk to anybody, I like to go through the work, especially if they have a Wikipedia page. I go through it and see, is this really true? And so here's what I want to know is really true. From your Wikipedia page, it says that you were offered a contract with the WWE, the World Wrestling, or back then it was WWF, maybe. Anyway, I don't know when it was. And they wanted you to walk off the set of the UFC, and they were going to give you a boatload of cash. Is that true?
The first part is, the second part's a little exaggerated. I can't remember if I was the one who went in and edited it. And
what?
The offer was there. So they came at me with a 3-year contract, and we talked wrestling earlier. Like me and Gene, may he rest in peace. My first job out of school, Kelsey, was in Sarasota, Florida. And me and Gene Okerlund was living down there. I used to have beers with him at Blueberry Hill. His son, Todd, was on the 1984 Olympic hockey team. I'm a hockey player. Like we had this bond, and Gene back then was like, I'm going to get you in, kid. I'm going to get you in. Love the Hulkster. So they offered me this deal, and it was a Monday night. We were at the Hard Rock in Vegas on Spike. And then that next Monday was when I was probably going to be starting at USA with the WWE, but I hadn't signed. I hadn't signed. There was a signing bonus if I did sign. And Joe the whole night's like, dude, you're not going to leave. You're not going to go do porn. You're not going to do like the. I'm like, Joe, okay, really, it's not really porn. It's great entertainment, and he's just dogging me. He didn't want our partnership to break up. And so he went upstairs, talked to Lorenzo and Dana, said, hey, I don't want to work with anybody else. Goldie and I are tight. We're powerful partners. Do what you need to do. And so about 2 days later, Dana gave me a call and said, all right, I did the math. You got to do 50 shows with them to make what they're offering you, Goldie. So this is what we're going to give you per show. And, you know, you just stay here. And so that's what ended up happening. But no, I wasn't going to like be, you know, here we drop the mic and, you know, get on a charter jet like with Vince and just show up at WrestleMania. But yes, it was close.
Amazing story. Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing all your stories with me. I'm really grateful.
Thanks, Kelsey.
You're going to be calling action on July 16th. It's Bare Knuckle Boxing, BYB Extreme 6. Can't wait to watch it.
You got it.
Thanks.
And you started saying it before. Thank you. There's going to be a lot of it. It is all over. Just like that.
That's right. Yes, perfect. I was going to ask you to do that, but you did it anyway. I was like, I don't want to ask him.
I always got you, brother. Thanks, Kelsey.